You know, that's the second time that it has been said, and we will try to be conscious of the time. I want to finish early enough to let Luann share a little bit about family. It's those verses that Pastor read just now, they are extremely thought-provoking for anybody who leaves family. Our family has been scattered for many, many generations now. We're four generations, a missionary family, my grandfather and grandmother to China with the Christian Missionary Alliance, aunts and uncles to Irian Jaya, the island of Borneo in those years, Indonesia now, Peru and Chile, and then we to Chile, and our son now in Japan, working in Sendai where the tsunami hit, and that makes four generations for about 125 years total with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. So, you know, Thanksgiving is a weird thing sometimes when you're overseas. Everybody's at work. And we still had turkey. As soon as turkeys came, we bought them. We had turkey. And we gathered people around. Usually on Thursdays of Thanksgiving. Thursday night we had prayer meeting, but Luann and I, we kind of stayed home. That was the night that we gathered with maybe others to fellowship and just to be thankful. It's not necessarily a custom in Chile, but we wanted to keep that alive. And Christmases, once the kids were older and left, there were some Christmases that one of them did not come home. So there were times when we were alone. What we did was we just called everybody, all our kids, grandparents, when they were living, moms and dads. We just were on the phone, you know, or on Skype or doing something to be able to touch base with family. But, you know, living a life for Jesus Christ is going to be increasingly a solitary one. Those that live godly shall suffer persecution. So we need to buckle up spiritually as we tread water now more and more in a heathen land, in a land that is becoming more and more perverse. Not just bad, but perverse. When things are done now that 5-10 years ago were unthinkable, today are in everybody's lips and very accepting. Interestingly enough, I just happened to pick up Unto These Hills, a devotional by Billy Graham. It was downstairs, and I just opened it in one of those things, May 7th, The Intolerant Christ. And he goes on, I quickly read it, and he goes on to explain how you cannot serve God and the world. You cannot follow God and follow the world. Christ is intolerant. And you know, this culture will not accept that. So we're coming into a phase in our country where intolerance, we are going to be the intolerant ones. Christians who stand up for righteous living, for understanding what husband and wife and a matrimony and a marriage means, what it means to be man or woman, boy or girl, the way God made us. When all of those things are just being erased more and more, when today it's publicly advocated that a birthed baby can be left to die. It's like in the Old Testament. when men and women, families would go to Chemosh, the god Baal, and there they sacrificed their newborn children. It's the same thing that was done 4,000 years ago. Man has not changed. Man has not changed. There was a deterrent with Christians against the killing. But you can see how we just evolve. We're just in very treacherous times. And it isn't that you're just separated from family and friends geographically for the gospel's sake. You're separated from friends and families philosophically and spiritually, living close by for the gospel's sake, for truth's sake. You become separated. It's an awesome thing that we're getting into. So when Pastor spoke of voting your faith, very, very important. Very, very important. But anyway, moving on, how important it is as we look for the unfinished task that is set before us. And these unfinished tasks are coming to us from a statement that Dr. Simpson related and wrote in a book many years ago in the 1880s. He wrote a book, Dr. Simpson did, founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, The Greater Life. And in it, he challenges the Alliance family to finish those things that we've started, those things that we thought about, those projects that are pending. He says, finish these things because we are more than able and empowered to do so. He goes on to describe in that book the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And he challenges us to be filled with the Spirit, to understand the Word, to be able to obey the Word, and to be able to be empowered in those things that are not yet finished in our life. And you and I have to determine what have we not finished. I think we can turn on the... Yeah, there we go. See, there's the better half right there. And she'll come up and say a few words. She was with your kids this morning, but she'll finish up. From Chile to Egypt. The next slide, please. Okay. How do we finish that which we have pending? And each of us has to determine, hopefully during these months, you've had time to say, okay, I need to finish this, that, or the other. In my personal life, I have to advance in these areas. In my marriage, we have to advance in these areas. In my work, these things have to be accomplished the right way for God's sake. And in the ministries of our churches, we have to do and finish what we have to finish. We're not done yet. And we think of it overseas, and it's the same fashion. And I just want to leave with you this morning some of those things that are not finished. You know, for the sake of being able to see, I had a little bulletin. I don't know if it was handed out to people who needed it to follow the text. This is called the New Living Translation. You'll see it here, but it could be that some of you might don't have it, or anybody need one? You can follow it. It'll be up here. So I always put it on the screen so that people can follow. This is from the New Living Translation. And what we would like to leave with you is some verses of Colossians chapter 4 as our guiding principle. This morning when I was sharing with you about Juan Manuel and Marisol, I just shared how for the last 7 years or so, we really focused on the Word of God. All of our teaching, all of our devotional times, all of our prayer meetings, all of our preaching was based on a consistent one-year Bible reading plan that I followed, and some in the church were following. So people knew basically what our study was going to be in class on Tuesday, what the men's meeting was going to be on Wednesday, what the devotional time was going to be on Thursday for prayer meeting. They knew, because I would follow in a very strict fashion the scripture readings, and I would do the teachings from that. Why? Because I wanted to show the congregation that God speaks daily. I don't have to be ignorant of the will of God for the day, for the week, for the month, for the year. God will speak if I turn the radio on, spiritually speaking, and that is by reading the Word of God. And I would always tell him, it's not hard, it's not magic. It's just being diligent and obedient and rigorous in reading, in setting a time out to be with God, to be in prayer, and to be understanding of what the Holy Spirit wants to say. And as we begin this morning, this unfinished responsibilities, I want to start with the encouragement for prayer that Paul gives us. Paul sets some guidelines. Paul has a base from which he works. He starts out in chapter 2 of Colossians 4. He starts by, devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and thankful heart. That verb, devote, is very important. Every verb in the Bible is important, probably more than anything else, because usually the verbs are the radical form from which nouns are taken. Because verbs describe action, and when you're thinking in terms of verbs that the Holy Spirit wrote down, you think in terms of what either God will do on our behalf, or what we are responsible to do for God and the church and the people in the world. So it's critical to just underline, and I purposefully underlined, so just to be able to show you by example. Devote is the word from which devotion comes from. Or as Dr. Simpson or as Dr. Tozer spoke of, the deeper life is born out of the devotional life as we devote ourselves to prayer and Bible reading. Pastor alluded this morning about the devotional that they follow, the year, and if you do the one that he mentions, the daily bread, you will literally read the Bible the whole year, because they have a Bible reading outline there. Very, very good if you do that. Or if you are some people like I saw downstairs, and I'm not taking it, I just wanted to show you this, but who's gonna not want to follow Billy Graham, right? We want to follow through. We want to be able to read devotionally, but we really need to read the Bible. And you know, to make it easier, do the following. Write things down. Get yourself a little notebook and just write it down. I don't journal what I am thinking. I journal what God is saying. So I write the verses down. I could tell you what I read this morning. It was about Jethro and his good advice to Moses. You know, and it's just very simple. It's the verses down so that I don't forget them, because I have a fragile mind. And you know, there's nothing so bad as reading the Bible in the morning and then not having a clue at midday what you read about. Now, I know some people read their Bible at noontime, during their lunch hour, or they read it at night. I mean, making all those allowances, of course. But when it's so easy to forget, so we need to write things down. And, I, for years I never did underline, but I finally started underline, because I didn't want to forget. I didn't want to forget. And my spiritual language still is Spanish, because I grew up in Chile. So I lived in Chile for over 50 years. So I learned English. I grew up with Spanish, but my mother taught me English when we would come to the States. So I read the Bible in Spanish and then in English. I've started reading the Bible in English a lot more now because I'm speaking in English and preaching in English, and I want to know the cadences of the word, and that's why I even put it up there so I don't really forget it. It just, you know, when you see and hear, it's easier to remember. But devote yourself. Devotions are needed. I ask you again. Did you read your Bibles? Did you have devotions today? Are you planning to have it? And look what it says. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind. In other words, Paul, the Holy Spirit, is telling me, David, I want you to devote yourself to prayer and Bible reading when your mind is most alert. Not the time you have left over. Well, you know what? There's nothing else on TV today. I'm going to have to go read my Bible. I mean, you know, sometimes we have those dialogues with the Holy Spirit. Oh, we might not say anything, but it's racing through our mind. But the Holy Spirit wants me to be with Him, to be in the Word, to be in prayer when my mind is most alert. That for me is the morning. I don't know when it is for you. Whatever that is, that's fine. But when you're most alert, that's when we need to be with God and in His Word and in prayer. And you know, as we think of the unfinished tasks, we have to spend that time to be empowered. Not only to understand the Bible, not only to obey it, but to be empowered. So when we address issues, when we're working through issues, when we're looking for wisdom, biblical wisdom, in what we're doing on a daily basis, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Because we've been in the Word. Otherwise, if we've not been in the Word and we've only been listening to music, we've only been watching this game or that game or this movie or this show or with these friends, we don't have the spiritual wisdom, we have the worldly wisdom. There is a difference. Devote yourself to pray. Then it says, pray for us too, that God, verse 3 here, pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak. As we pray, the Holy Spirit wants us to speak to others. And we need to pray for opportunities. Do you pray for an opportunity to speak to somebody about Jesus? See, we can say, well, that's the pastor and his wife. That's his responsibility. Or the missionaries, that's why we send them. That's why we even... No, you know, Paul is speaking for those opportunities, those personal opportunities to speak about the mysterious plan concerning Christ. See, it's not easy for people to understand the mystery of Christ. They get all tied up in knots. Some people deny Him. Some people say, well, He's just a good counselor. He's just a good man. He was very moral. He's an example. Well, He's all of those things, but He's the Son of God incarnate. He is the Son of God who will reign. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the one who sanctifies us. Jesus is our healer. Jesus is the coming King. Do we know how to share those things? Do we know the Romans Road? You know, I think that's one of the first things I learned in high school. I remember Toccoa Falls Academy in those years. One of the first things I learned was the Romans Road, you know, that one of our teachers told us at least we could start witnessing with that. Then I remember going to Bob Jones University for college, and we had to do Christian service every week. So man, that came in handy to just know the scripture and be able to share those opportunities. Then in verse 4, the next slide please, of Colossians 4, pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. As clearly, you know, as we look to these unfinished tasks, we really need to know what the message is all about. Can you explain it clearly to somebody else? You know, we do two things with our lives. We speak the Christian life, and then we live the Christian life. And hopefully those are in concert with each other. Because our actions will always speak louder than our words. But hopefully, as we talk about Christ, we live the Christ and they see Christ in us. That is the end game. Look what he says. And look what he says in verse 5. Live wisely among those who are not believers. So one is speaking, one is living. One is speaking clearly the gospel, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing. A workman that rightly divides, a woman, a young person, a grandpa, a grandma, an aunt, an uncle who rightly divides the word of truth. That means you got to study a little bit. You got to know. You got to speak. You got to be in Sunday school. There's just this whole issue of understanding the gospel and being able to explain it. You know, there's a dearth of understanding about prophecy. It used to be that people were very aware of prophetic events. You know, I love this whole thing of the Abraham Accords, where Israel and the Emirates made these treaties or these accords. You know, one of the prophetic utterances of the Psalms is that Jerusalem will increase its fame when Christ comes as Messiah. And it says that all of the riches of the world will flow to that end. Remember when the children of Israel left Egypt? The scripture says that God turned the Egyptians favorably towards Israel, and they gave them all their wealth. So all of the wealth of Egypt was with Israel as they moved on into the Exodus, into the promised land. As you think about the millennium, as you think about Christ's reign, just think of the fact that the wealth will flow to Jerusalem. And you know, in the Emirates, Bahrain, Abu Dhabi, Doha, all those are the financial capitals of the Middle East. That means that these Abraham Accords now make allowances for all of these significant financial arrangements that are preparatory for the flowing of money. Now see, the Bible teaches that. And you know, God uses presidents to make those things happen. Now, I don't think any network will talk about the things that you've just heard. But see, when we're in the scripture, we can understand prophecy. We can understand how things are happening. We look at it from a different side too. See, Chile is sending missionaries into the Middle East. Business people who are setting up foundations. They even have virtual offices to be able to sell their wares in Abu Dhabi, for example. That is happening as I speak. They're in Chile making things and selling them. This Abraham Accord facilitates transfer of monies now from Latin America via Israel to Abu Dhabi and Dubai. Who would have thought that would have happened? But God did. And He used an instrument, a president, to broker these things in order that the gospel and prophecy might be eventually fulfilled. No, these are super important days. Super important days. And we rightly divide. We proclaim the message clearly. The centricity of Christ, the Alliance has always done that. The deeper life takes us to live, in verse 5, to live wisely among those that are not believers. See, we mingle with them. We're in the world, not a part of the world. And we live wisely with biblical wisdom, not as the world lives. It isn't that we have to be as close to the world as possible. No, we have to be as close to Christ as possible. Because see, God will predispose others to be benevolent and be kind with us if we're faithful to Him. I don't have to be a brute. I don't have to be rude to non-Christians. But I can be faithful to Christ among them. Look at verse 6. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive. See? And here you have this encouragement as we pray, as we live. The Holy Spirit just wants to encourage us and lay down some foundational tools in order to finish that which is unfinished. And we're going to get to that. We will remain in Colossians now in verse 7. The next slide, please. In verse 7, Paul, the Holy Spirit, reminds us of Tychicus. Tychicus was somebody very important in the life of Paul. And look what he says. Tychicus will give you a full report about how I am getting along. He's a beloved brother and faithful helper. There's a report. There's a life story that has to be told that was unfinished, but Tychicus was being sent, was being prepared with that report to be able to tell the church how things were going. I have sent them for this purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. Reports, life stories that are in the process of being written even now during these months are to be an encouragement to be able to finish tasks that are undone yet. Look at the next slide, please. Here is Essam and Shireen. Pastor Brooke told you that we're working in Egypt. This is a couple that we're working with. We've worked with them personally in February of this year, but since then we've worked on Zoom with them, I don't know, maybe 20 different times as we help them, as Luann and I help them do their life stories for the Alliance Marriage Encounter there in the Middle East. See, life stories are an encouragement to others. A Christian's life story, his report, God uses it for encouragement. I wish I had the time to just share about Issam and Shireen. Issam is a CEO, an assistant to a CEO in a company, and he's preparing for ministry. God has given him gifts of administration and preaching. Shireen is a school teacher by trade. She speaks English flawlessly, but they have had a torturous life before they met Christ. And they share their life story to encourage others who are walking difficult paths, to encourage them and say, this is where we were and this is what Christ did. We encourage you to leave that and to follow Jesus. Reports are an encouragement, and we're in the process of helping them. They will be part of a team, Lord willing, that will eventually go into Dubai, into the Emirates, with the Alliance Marriage Encounter. They're part right now of a daughter church of about 300 people. 160 of them are Alliance Marriage Encounter alumni. Actually, 15 are Muslim couples who have been saved in the marriage encounter. God is doing things. It's not going to be in the networks. But there are tasks that are being done and that are at this stage unfinished that we can finish. Essam and Shireen, their report is one. Their life story is one that will be a blessing to others. Another unfinished responsibility are relationships. You know, we start relationships that we just haven't been able to finish. You know, are there people that you just haven't been able to see for about 5 or 6 months? And you know, maybe you were, they're non-Christians and you just wanted to see them for Christ. You've been praying for them. Well, God is going to give you a chance to be with them again. And you'll be able to finish what is now unfinished. We are in that situation to look. Onesimus, verse 9 of Colossians 4. I am also sending Onesimus, a faithful, beloved brother, one of your own people. And I want to show you the next slide because it's Jose Raul and Karen. They're Chilean and one of our own people, if you please. We have known them since they were teens. They were saved in our church. They were encouraged in our church, mentored in our church, prepared in our church for ministry. And today we are still in that unfinished relationship building as they prepare to be missionaries to Japan. Imagine, how is that going to happen? Their daughter Javiera, there in the middle with the flowers, she has been studying English and Japanese. She's into her second year, albeit virtual teaching now. Jose Tomas, their son, he's a soccer player in Chile, and they play a lot of soccer in Japan. And Jose Raul and Karen, university grads, they're techies. They work for a computer company and also preparing for ministry in our seminary. It's unfinished, but it has to be finished somehow. How? We don't know. We're praying for them. We converse with them about once a month. We don't let them lose sight of their calling. We encourage them, saying that the good work that God started, He will complete it. Philippians 1:6, He that starts a good work will complete it. It's true for them. It's true for you. What's unfinished in your life, He can complete it. But you got to open doors. You got to follow Him. You got to be listening to Him daily as you read the Word. Unfinished relationship building. There's also unfinished pastoral leadership. Look at the next slide, please. In verse 10 of Colossians 4, Paul mentions Aristarchus, who is in prison with me, sends you his greetings. Aristarchus, there's unfinished pastoral leadership. Look at the next slide. Pastor Samé Maurice, he's been in captivity, but delivered and still ministering. He's in the process of just promoting the gospel. There's an unfinished pastoral leadership ministry in him. He has been three times in captivity. I wish I had the time to just share with you how he has been able to escape there in Egypt. He's pastoring a church of 10 to 12,000 people that regularly meet every week in his church. Presbyterian background, that's okay. The Alliance comes from a Presbyterian background. Evangelical, but 10 to 12,000 people meet week after week after week. Prayer meetings, Monday and Tuesday, of 1,000 people each. 1,000 people on Monday come to pray just for Egypt, just for deliverance from the Muslim Brotherhood. And then on Tuesday, it's primarily youth, but they're praying for the ministries of the church. Oh, we can speak freely about this. They have their own website. They have their own website in Arabic and in English. So it's nothing undercover. That's why we work and talk with them so openly. Unfinished. And they're just gearing up again. They're opening up to everything that they had before. It's unfinished. New ministries developing. Next one is in verse 12. Epaphras, a member of your own fellowship and a servant of Jesus Christ, sends you his greeting. He always prays earnestly for you. Intercessory prayer ministry, unfinished prayer development. probably our weakest link all over the world is our prayer meetings. We need to develop intercessory prayer. We need to be praying more, not less. Very few Zoom meetings about prayer, about other things, but not prayer meetings. Oh, how we've fallen woefully, woefully off the wagon, so to speak, and not being involved in prayer. Let's look at the other. Here you have three families critical in Chile. Three families critical to our prayer ministry in the church. Over here to your left is Eliana and Marco and her family. In the middle up is Christian and Claudia. And on your right is Lily, a widow. These families, these women especially, were critical elements to start our prayer ministry, intercessory prayer ministry in our church. In the last 3 years that we were there, Eliana and Marco came one time. They said, "Pastor, we have a stack of 80 prayer requests. We have to have an all-night vigil to pray for these. The expectation is too great. People are leaving prayer requests Sunday after Sunday, and we need to see answers. We got to pray and pray down blessing from on high for all of these requests." So we set up a date. They led it. We met from 7 p.m. till 7 a.m., broke the fast in the morning with breakfast together as a church, and that spearheaded our last 3 years there from 2015 on, that spearheaded a movement of intercessory prayer after church. During the offering time, people could leave their prayer requests. We would collect them. And then as I gave the final prayer, I would ask the prayer ministry team to come up. There were 10 intercessory prayer warriors that Marco and Eliana right here set up with people from the church who would come up forward. Then I would ask those who had prayer requests to bring them forward, and then we would pray for them. And that prayer meeting every Sunday after church lasted for 30, 35 minutes as these 10 intercessors prayed. Then on Thursdays, our prayer meeting grew. Almost 50 to 60 people would come, and we would just take the stack of prayer requests like this, and we would distribute them in 4 different groups to pray for each one. And then on Sundays, we would ask, have there been any answers? If there was answer, we would ask them to come forward to encourage the people as God answered prayer. Oh, the unfinished task of intercessory prayer for a world that needs it. You know, we sang the first, I didn't know any of the choruses you sung here, but I was touched by one that says, this has to begin with me as we reach out to the community. No, don't look for others. Just look right here. Lord, what can I do by praying? What can I do by doing? Don't expect anybody else to. You just do it. Every revival has started with one person. So as you gather, ladies, primarily you ladies, don't miss out on the privilege of intercessory prayer, of coming to grips with God so that He answer the request. I found it a good tool to have these requests written down so that we would just pray the request out loud in our small groups during prayer meeting. And beloved, we started at 8 p.m., didn't finish till 10 p.m., 10:30 p.m. You can't cut prayer short. See, God doesn't work in a 30-minute slot. He doesn't. I mean, when He knows that I'm just going to give Him 5 minutes, He says, "Okay, Dave, I'll wait for when you can just give me the time I need to deal with you." It's not that he passes us up. He says, "I just want your time." See, and that's the most difficult thing for any of us to give God. I don't have time. I don't have time. Well, these ladies, these families took us to a new level in our church. Thank God for them. Are there people here that will take the church to a new level in prayer? That's an unfinished task. And when God begins to answer, especially in the spiritual realm, when people begin to get saved, when their lives are turned around, when they were going this way and all of a sudden they go that way because the Holy Spirit has done a job in them, then people start paying attention. They start paying attention. So pray to that end. Pray that lives will be changed from the inside out, because that will get the world's attention. And let's pray for miracles too. You know, we need miracles. We really do. You know, I'm not a Pentecostal guy, but I loved it in Chile. Man, they just, when they prayed, they expected God was going to raise the dead. They expected that. And you know, I just saw things that I just said, oh, David of little faith. We need to come to grips with a God who can do miracles again. Intercessory prayer. Unfinished. 17 is Archippus. Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. This is a challenge, you know. I wouldn't want to be Archippus. Because all of history through eternity will remember that Archippus wasn't doing ministry like he ought. So God gave him a stern challenge. Look at the unfinished. We have an unfinished task with the Alliance Marriage, the Alliance Women's Encounter. We did the ministry. All of these encounter ministries were done in Chile first and then sent to the different parts of the world in 7 different languages, Arabic being one of them. And the Alliance Women, We had done it. We had translated it into English, and then from English we had translated it into Arabic. So we do the next slide, please. So we went, and here is Adele and Amira. She's Amira and her grandson. Adele and Amira, who are supervisors of our marriage encounter ministries, she was going to be in charge of the Alliance Women's Encounter. They have scads of women lined up. We just hadn't had time to put it in place. But anyway, Luann especially was able to spend a great deal of time with her in Cairo in February. In June, we were going to bring some people in from one lady especially from Chile. We were all going to meet to speak with the staff and just walk them through it so that now in November we could have had one. Those were the plans of man. So it's unfinished. We don't know how. We don't know when we'll be able to get back. But that's, you know how things get cut short? That was one thing that got cut short. And be sure to carry out the ministry. It just rings in my ear every time I think about this. Every time I write Adel and Amira, finish the task. Finish the task. Finish the task. All of our ministries to women in the encounter ministries are the most successful. There's greater sensitivity, greater proactivity. The niceties that women bring into ministries are relished. So ladies, pick up the baton. I don't know what ministry the Lord is calling you to. I don't know what ministries the church has planned. But whatever it is, make sure, guys, you say amen. We will do. Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. What ministry has the Lord given you that you're not carrying out, but that you better carry out? This is the time to say, here, my Lord. I ain't backing down. Thank you for this time you've given me. I'm going to your word. I'm getting a good foundation now. I'm getting good counsel from my pastor, from the elders, and I'm going whole hog. For God's sake, and for the blessing of my community.
What time is it?
10 to 12. Okay, Luann. I want Luann to say a few words. She's been with the kids, and I'm going to stand right here. I'm going to stand right here so we don't go past 5 minutes, Lou. 5 minutes. 5 minutes, Lou. The pastor says 50.
Did you bring the picture?
Did you bring that up?
Yeah, listen. I brought this for a reason. So you'd get a little idea. Excuse me, Luann. Okay. So you get a little idea of the kind of work we do. It's in this Alliance Life. It's the March-April issue of this year. There's an article about the Alliance Marriage Encounter. And it was written by Isaiah Johnson from the staff at the Alliance Life, but there's a little picture of us, so you can put us together there with some of the team members, Hector and Damaris. By the way, when you see this picture in your Alliance Life, they're missionary candidates to Brazil. God, now he's Pentecostal. I mean to tell you, God has just put a fire in there that nobody can stop, and to see souls saved, and he's a prayer warrior, both of them are. And so, but they helped us in the Alliance Marriage Encounter in Chile. So, but it's this issue. So please take a peek at it so you can get a little more insight into what the Alliance Marriage Encounter is. Just short. Family.